From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello, everyone. This week we are reading Parshat Vayishlach, Genesis 32:4 to the end of 36. And I'm going to talk about a subject somewhat related to what we talked about last time. This is not going to be happening at Bethel, Beit El, but as you'll see, it's still going to involve Jacob building something and giving something a name. So I'm looking at the end of Genesis 33, starting with verse 18. Jacob arrived safe in the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, having come thus from Paddan Aram, and he encamped before the city. The parcel of land where he pitched his tent he purchased from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 ksitas. He set up an altar there and called it El Elohe Yisrael. Well, I promised sometime back in Deuteronomy last year, I think, that I would talk about these ksitas. It's going to have to wait for another occasion. What I want to talk about this week is he set up an altar there and called it El Elohe Yisrael, literally God, the God of Israel. But El and Elohim are two different words, even though they sound very similar. Well, there are other places in the Bible where someone names an altar. The ones I have on the handout for you are Exodus 17:15, after the Israelites beat the Amalekites in battle, Moses, right when Moses sticks his hands up so that the Israelites can win, and Aaron and Hur have to hold them up. Moses built an altar and named it Adonai Nisi. In Joshua, very, very interesting story. If you don't know this story, run and read it and then come back to the podcast. Joshua 22:34, the Reubenites and the Gadites, who I'm going to remind you, end up living on the east bank of the Jordan, built an altar and named the altar Witness. Witness is in brackets in the JPS translation, but this is a suggestion by Rashi that somehow this word is intended to be there. And in Judges, in the story of Gideon, Judges 6:24, Gideon built an altar after seeing the Lord, and the Lord told him, Shalom lecha, you're going to be fine, you're not going to die. Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it Adonai Shalom. So what does it mean to build an altar and give it a name, which Jacob does in Genesis 33:20? I'm going to focus back on that event now, starting with Nachum Sarna from the JPS Torah Commentary Series. He set up an altar. Unlike the other patriarchal altars, this one neither responds to a theophany nor is used for worship. Rather, it constitutes a pillar celebrating the safe arrival home after a prolonged absence filled with ever-present peril and recurring crises, and commemorating the change of name from Jacob to Israel, because Jacob's name has just been changed. So the altar perhaps commemorates this change, says Nachum Sarna. He continues, the Hebrew verb vayatsev is connected with matseva, a pillar, and is never used of the erection of altar for sacrifice. I do have the Hebrew of this verse on the handout for you, and I remind you, if you don't have the handout handy, you can go to the website, or if you're subscribed to the podcast, you can click through to the website mkarasik.wordpress.com and get it there. The Hebrew of verse 20 is Vayatsev Sham Mizbeach, and he set up an altar there. Vayatsev Mizbeach. You would expect you would Vayatsev a Matseva, and that's what Sarna is saying. The verb vayatsev is connected with matseva, a pillar, stone pillar, and is never used of the erection of altar for sacrifice. Altars with purely commemorative or testimonial functions were also built by Moses after the war with the Amalekites and by the Jordanian tribes in Gilead, as described in Exodus 17:15 and in the book of Joshua, respectively. And as I've mentioned already, Gideon built one too. Well, he called this altar El Elohe Yisrael, Nachum Sarna says, literally El/God, God of Israel. Although it may seem strange to give such a name to an altar, the several similar examples show this to have been unexceptional. The use of Israel in this name refers to the patriarch, so this is the God of me, Jacob, Israel, not the God of the nation of Israel, which of course doesn't really exist yet. So just because there are several similar examples does not make it seem any less strange to me, and it seems even more strange when I realize that Ben Summer, whom I mentioned last week, and you can find a link to more about this subject on last week's podcast post. In his book, The Bodies of God in the World of Ancient Israel, he says, calling this altar El apparently identifies the stone with the deity, and these matzevot, these stone pillars that some of the patriarchs set up, are indeed understood to be a representation of God. Now for something even more surprising. John Levinson in the Jewish Study Bible points out that calling this altar El, the God of Israel, through this confession, says Levinson, El, the supreme Canaanite deity, is identified as the God of Israel. And indeed, in Canaanite mythology, El, E-L, a word that means power, but think of it with a capital P, El is the chief god of the Canaanites and runs the Canaanite divine council, kind of like Zeus chairing the meeting on top of Mount Olympus. And go to Psalm, is it Psalm 92, I think, the Psalm for Friday, where you can see this happening in action. It's definitely is recorded in the Bible as well. Well, let's look at and see what some of the traditional commentators want to say about our verse 20. First, the question asked by Don Isaac Abarbanel at the end of the 15th century, how could Jacob name an altar made up of dead material objects El Elohe Yisrael? How can you call a piece of rock God? Great question, Isaac. And Rashi already answered it, although you don't accept his answer. Not that the altar itself was called God of Israel, but in honor of the Holy One's being with him and rescuing him, he named the altar after the miracle so that anyone saying the name of the altar would be offering praise to God. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says, the Hebrew name can be understood to mean God is the God of Jacob. One might call a child Eliezer or Emmanuel, God is my help, God is with us, And Jacob gave this altar the same kind of name. That is the straightforward sense. David Kimchi says, saying that he set it up rather than built it implies that it was made of a single stone. And of course, that is what Nachum Sarna is saying also. This is a matseva. Abraham Ibn Ezra, Sadia says that Jacob called him this, not the altar, because it sounds like a divine name, but in fact it is the name of the altar, just as Moses named an altar for the miracle that the Holy One did in that particular location. Nachmanides actually picks up on Rashi's point, says it's a Jewish custom that names invoke some praise of God. So if you name someone Tzuriel, every time his mom calls him in for dinner, Tzuriel, his mom is saying, God is my rock. And he gives a whole bunch of other names as well. Gersonides, picking up on something in the Talmud, says that Jacob did not call the altar El Elohe Yisrael, rather, Vayikra lo El Elohe Yisrael means, for God, the God of Israel, had called him there. Vayikra lo, and now here comes the subject of the verb, according to Gersonides, El Elohe Yisrael. This prophecy may not have been recorded since its content had nothing new. Or this might be the prophecy that is recorded in 35:1. Ibn Ezra's explanation is less plausible than the one I have given. But Nachmanides is not quite through yet either, because he wants to give us the true explanation. And you can see on the handout or in the commentator's Bible that true has a capital T. Derech Ha'emet, the way of truth. Derech Ha'emet. When Nachmanides says that, he is telling you this is what the Torah really means. It's a window into mystical, Kabbalistic interpretation of the text. And Nachmanides says the thing Gersonides is referring to is the true explanation that given by our sages on Megillah 18a in the Talmud, and the God of Israel called him El. Not El Elohe Yisrael called him there, but Vayikra lo El Elohe Yisrael, the God of Israel, named him El there. There's a profound mystery in this statement, expressed in different words in Genesis Rabbah as well, where Jacob addresses the Holy One, "You are God among those on high, I am God among those below." A little bit more of Nachmanides' explanation is on the handout for you, and he concludes, "One who is enlightened will understand." Good test to find out if you are enlightened. I'm not really enlightened, obviously. But I want to look once more at the altar that Moses built in Exodus 17 after defeating the after the Israelites defeated the Amalekites. William Propp in his Anchor Bible commentary to Exodus says, presumably the purpose of this altar is to render thanks for the victory on it, meaning that they would indeed offer sacrifice there, although the sacrifice there is not mentioned if it did occur. It could be a symbolic memorial altar, as in Joshua. At any rate, the name etiology implies an object visible in later times. An altar with a name implies, according to Propp, an object that in later times was still there. But let me just point out that the altar that Moses builds in Exodus 24 does not have a name, neither does the altar of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, or the altar of the temple. And in Exodus 20, the end of the Ten Commandments, after the end of the Ten Commandments, God reminds the Israelites, make for me an altar of earth, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your sacrifices of well-being, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. And that's what you would expect a mizbeach, coming from the Hebrew verb zayin bet chet, related to tet bet chet, which means to slaughter an animal. That's what you would expect an altar to be used for killing or at least burning an animal sacrifice on top of it. I will let you go back and think about whether Jacob is really naming the site, the Makom, Bethel, or whether he is naming an altar that. And you can ask the same question in Genesis 22 about the place that Abraham names. Next Shabbat is Shabbat Chanukah, but we are reading Parshat Vayeshev. I'll be back with you then. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.